Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah daf Chavav. We left off on daf Chafei Amud Beis. We are at the new parak, the fourth and final parak of Maseches Megillah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, the Refor Shlema for Rachel Malka Basertel Shendel, and also the Ili Nishmas Yehuda Tzvi Ben Menachem Alter, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shavn Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to begin the fourth parak of Maseches Megillah. And the fourth parak is largely about Kriyas HaTorah of different days of the year and the halachas of the brachos of Kriyas. Since we've been discussing the Zman Kriya, the number of Olim, the dinim of the brachos of Kriyas HaTorah, so that's why it naturally leads into the different parshios that we read for Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year. But since we're going to talk about the different parshios of Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year, and that happens in a Beis HaKnesses, so we're first going to discuss the halachas that are nogea to Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, to Sifrei Torah, to Tashmi Kedusha, and when you're allowed to sell those items. So the first mission that we're going to have today is going to discuss selling items in order to buy other items of Kedusha, and the basic principle of Malin B'Kodesh Ve'in Maridin. The Gemara is then going to distinguish between different types of Batei Knesios, the Beis HaKnes Shel Kfarim versus the Beis HaKnes Shel Krachim, meaning the ownership and who uses the Beis HaKnes is going to make a big difference in terms of who is authorized to sell the Beis HaKnes. The Gemara is going to discuss whether Yerushalayim is Nischalik L'Shvatim. The Gemara is going to talk about how you're not allowed to destroy a Beis HaKnesses before you build a new one in its place, even though there may not be a chashash that you're going to be posheya and not build one, just for a very practical reason that you need to have a Beis HaKnesses to daven in. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah versus Tashmishei Kedusha. The halacha is that if you have Tashmishei Kedusha, even if you're no longer using them, they retain their Kedusha and you're not allowed to throw them out. Whereas Tashmishei Mitzvah, once they're no longer being used for the Mitzvah, they can be thrown out. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about how an Aron can sometimes be Chotzit Bifnei Atuma, that if it's meant to be stationary, it's meant to be in place, then it could be could block tuma from passing from one room to the next. So let's begin at the new parak on daf Chafei Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. So Chazal tell us there is a principle called the appears Maseches Menachos of Tzaditas, that Malin B'Kodesh Ve'in Moridin. Anything that has kedusha, you're not allowed to bring it down a level of kedusha. So our Mishnah discusses when you have people in the city that sell Tashmishei Kedusha that belong to the city, like a Beis HaKnesses, like a Sefer Torah, that they have to make sure that they're not morid it from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala. So Bnei Yir Shemachru Ruchova Shel Ir. Let's say they sell the town square where they would get together and daven in Taanios. By Taanios, the whole town would get together. They would need a much larger area than the normal Batei Knesios. So everyone would gather together in the Rechovos. So you're not allowed to use that money to buy items that have no Kedusha, because the Rechovos Shalir has some level of Kedusha, and therefore Lochem B'damav Beis HaKnesses. You can elevate the level of Kedusha. The Rechovos Shalir is used sometimes for Tvila. Beis HaKnesses is used all the time for Tvila. So you can take money that was used for Rechovos Shalir and instead use the money to purchase a Beis HaKnesses. Similarly, if they sell a Beis HaKnesses, they're not allowed to use the money to buy mundane things. Lokhan Teva, they're allowed to buy a Teva with it. What is a Teva? So the Ran writes, it's an Aron Kodesh. The Beis Yosef quotes from Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah that no, it means the Bima, the Shulchan, that they put the Sefer Torah on. That's called a Teva. And it's Dafka, if the Magen Avraham points out, but that would only have this level of Kedusha if they put the Sefer Torah on it directly. But if they put, well, like we do with a Hefsek Mappa, so then the Bima doesn't have the level of Kedusha, of Tashmishei Kedusha. The Mappa has the level of Tashmishei Kedusha. The Shulchan itself has the Din of Tashmish to Tashmish. Chaps a big nafkamina. If a Shul is getting a new Shulchan to put the Sefer Torah on, do you have to put it in Geniza? Do you have to put the whole Shulchan in Geniza? Or can you get rid of it once you're upgrading? Because a Tashmish to Tashmish of Kedusha has a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah, whereas Tashmishei Kedusha have a din of Tashmishei Kedusha, and Tashmishei Kedusha have to be put in Geniza, whereas a Tashmish to Tashmish, which has a din of Tashmishei Mitzvah, can be thrown out afterwards. So Chaps a big nafkamina, and there's a very good reason why we therefore put a mappa on top of on top of the shulchan that we read the Sefer Torah from. So anyway, so if they sell the Beis HaKnesses, you could buy a teva, which again, either means an Aron Kodesh, or it means the shulchan that they read the Sefer Torah on. Teva, if they sell, let's say, the Aron Kodesh, lochin mitvachos, they could buy the cloth that they wrap a Sefer Torah in, because it has greater kedusha than the Aron Kodesh, and certainly you're allowed to buy Nevi'im Uksuvim and anything above that on the level of kedusha, because Malim B'Kodesh. Similarly, if they sell mitbachos, they sell the cloth that they wrap the Sefer Torah in, meaning even mitbachos of a Sefer Torah, then they're allowed to buy Yichu Svarim. They could buy other Svarim, including Sifrei Nevi'im, Sifrei Ksuvim, where the halacha is Nevi'im and Ksuvim have the same level of Kedusha. So when you have Chumashim that are made like Sifrei Torah, that are rolled as scrolls, and there's Tfira Begidin, there's a Machlok Saposkin, whether they have a din of Kedusha Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or a greater Kedusha than Nevi'im Ksuvim, but less than the Sefer Torah. I mean, is there an in-between level between the Kedusha of Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim and Kedusha Sefer Torah? Is there such a thing as Kedusha Sachumish, that you have Chumashim that are written as scrolls? Do they have a higher level? So that's Machlok Saposkin. But certainly, if you sell the mitbachos of a Sefer Torah even, that's what it sounds like. If you sell the cloths, the mantle, let's say, of a Sefer Torah, you can use that money to buy buy Sifrei Nevi'im Uksuvim. If they sell Svarim, Lokhan Torah, you sell Sifrei Nevi'im Uksuvim, well then certainly you could buy a Torah. A Torah itself has greater Kedusha than Nevi'im Uksuvim. Right? The difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is somewhat unclear. What makes something belong in Navi? What makes something belong in Ksuvim? It certainly is not based on author. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechet Bava Basra tells us that many of the same authors of Sifrei Nevi'im were also the same authors of Sifrei Ksuvim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Shlomo HaMelech, right? They both wrote parts of both Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So it could be, the Pashtus is that the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is the content, that whether the content was meant to be shared with that generation, and it's also Nevuah Shehutzru Chaladoros, or is content that was meant not as direct instruction for that generation, but just meant as wisdom to be shared Ladoros for future generations. If it wasn't meant at all for future generations, it wouldn't have even made it into Navi, because the halacha is that Nevuah Shehutzru Chaladoros made it into Navi. The Gemara tells us that there were Kiflaim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim Nevi'im. There were so many Nevi'im that prophesied, but they didn't all have Svarim that made it into that were canonized into the Tanakh, because they were giving nevuos that were relevant for their generation. Only a nevuah that's hutzuf chaladoros, that's relevant for their generation and also relevant for future times, actually makes it into Tanakh. So now the Mishnah throws it in reverse. Avle machru Torah, let's go backwards. If you sell the Sefer Torah, so lo yichu svarim, you're not allowed to use that money to buy nevi'im uksuvim, which have a lesser kedusha than the Sefer Torah, because then you're going to be murried from the kedusha. Svarim lo yichu mitbechos. If you sell Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim, you're not allowed to buy the mantle of a Sefer Torah. Mitbechos lo yichu teva. You sell the mantle of a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to buy an Aron Kodesh. In fact, there's a whole discussion whether an Aron Kodesh bizman hazeh has the status of Tashmishe Mitzvah or a status of Tashmishe Kedusha. That what grants something the status of Tashmishe Kedusha? Certainly, if it handles Kedusha, meaning, let's go back up a second. What's the difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha in general? So on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to give a list. Without giving a geder, it's just going to give a list of items that are Tashmishe Mitzvah and items that are Tashmishe Kedusha. So if Shachter points out in Eretz HaTzvi that if you look at that list, what you'll notice is everything that we call Tashmishe Kedusha relates in some way to Ksav Shel Torah, to actual writing of words of Torah. A mezuzah, tefillin, Sifrei Torah, right? Those things that and those things that are mishamish, those items are all Tashmishe Kedusha. Whereas a lulav, tzitzis, things like that are Tashmishe Mitzvah. They have no connection to actual Ksav Shel Torah. There's no writing of Torah on them. That's the difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. If something is only a Tashmish to Tashmish of Kedusha, it has the halachic status of Tashmishe Mitzvah. So what's an Aron Kodesh? Aron Kodesh doesn't have any Ksav Shel Torah on it, so it's certainly not Kedusha Atzma. But is it Mishamish the Kedusha? So it has Sifrei Torah inside of it. The Sifrei Torah are certainly Kedusha Atzma. Yeah, but the Aron Kodesh holds Sifrei Torah, but doesn't actually touch the Sifrei Torah. The Aron Kodesh touches the Atzei Chaim that rests on the Aron Kodesh, and it touches the mantle that rests against the back of the Aron Kodesh, but it doesn't actually touch the Ksav Shel Torah at all. So one could argue that an Aron Kodesh really should only have the din of a Tashmish to Tashmish. So there's discussion in the Poskim why that's not so. Why we assume that an Aron Kodesh has a din of Tashmish Kedusha. So some of the Poskim say, yeah, because sometimes the mantle doesn't fit over the Sefer so well, and the actual cloth will actually touch the Aron Kodesh. So when you put it away, sometimes the cloth will be directly on the Aron Kodesh. I don't know, does that really happen anymore? So one could argue, if that's the reason, then maybe an Aron Kodesh would not have a din of Tashmish Kedusha. On the flip side, other Achronim say, no, an Aron Kodesh is meant to support Sifrei Torah, meaning it's miyuchad, dafka, to give kavanu teferes to a Sefer Torah. Now, we don't just put the Sefer Torah away with all the other svarim on a bookshelf somewhere. We put the Sefer Torah in a makom of kavod that's a magnificent place to keep a Sefer Torah. So that's something that gives extreme kavod to the Sefer Torah. So that's what makes it Tashmish Kedusha. Nafkamina, I thought I wrote in my second Sefer, I thought Nafkamina might be what happens if you have, let's say, a safe. Right, that's purely functional, and then around the safe you build like something nice, something that looks really nice, and it looks so. If you hold that Aron Kodesh, which part has Tashmish Kedusha? Which part is considered Tashmish Kedusha? Is it the safe, or is it that which is built around the safe? Right. So if you're saying that it's totally on what is actually coming in contact with the Sefer Torah, so then it should be the safe. It shouldn't be that which is built around it. But if you hold it's that which is l'kavod l'tiferes, that which makes it look nice, and that which shows that you're giving covenant, so then it should be that which is built around the safe, not the safe itself. So that's l'chora nafkamina. I forget who, I think it's Chassam Sofer versus the Mishnah Brura. I wrote about it in my second sefer. So that's the issue with an Aron Kodesh. But we do assume that Aron Kodesh has a status of Tashmishe Kedusha. It's just a question of why it has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha. So anyway, so the Mishnah goes on. Avalumakru Torah lo yikhu svarim. If you sell the Torah, you're not allowed to buy Sifrei Nevi'im uksuvim. Svarim lo yikhu mitpchos lo yikhu teva lo yikhu beis haknesses lo yikhu asarachov. They're not allowed to go backwards up the list and to sell things that have higher Kedusha and then buy things that have lesser Kedusha. And then the Mishnah adds a Chiddush. B'chein b'mosrehen. And also, if you, let's say you sold Sifrei Nevi'im uksuvim, so you use some of the money to buy a Sefer Torah, and then you have money left over. So even the leftover money can't be used to be morid mikedusha. Even the leftover money, you have to be malim b'kodesh v'lo marid. And the Sfasemis points out that the chiddush would be that maybe you got a really great deal. You managed to get someone who was really interested in buying your Nevi'im Uksuvim, and they paid you way more than market value for them. So you would think that the extra money doesn't take on the kedusha because it's beyond the market value. No, if it was the money that was used in exchange for those svarim, then it would qualify. Now there is a discussion. This idea of Malin Bekodesh, Ve'in Moridin, is that a din ta'oraisa, or is that only a din derabanan? The Prima Gadim, Mishpatel Zav, Sim Membei, Sim Kadalf, is Medayik from Rashi, that Rashi quotes a drasha from the Torah, that it must be a din ta'oraisa. And that's what Rashi writes from Tosefta, that how do I know that Malin Bekodesh? Because it says, Vayakom Moshe Samishkan, that Betzalel did it, and Moshe, who was Gadol from Betzalel, is the one that erected the Mishkan. So you see, Malin Bekodesh, that it went from Betzalel up the ladder to Moshe Rabbeinu, and lo maridim, because it says in Bamidbar, esmach tol sachatoy me'ilu benafshol som vasro som rikui bachum tzipoy lemizbech ki yikrivim v'nei Hashem v'yikadshu. So the Rashi tells us that's how we learn ve'in maridim. Psukim in the Torah for the whole thing. So that's what the Pnei Shur and Prima Gadim point out, that l'chora, it sounds from Rashi that this is a din midar raisa. However, Prima Gadim is sosur himself, because the Mishpashal Zav Simon Kufnun Gimel Sifkan Aleph, he writes that it's a din Rabbanan, Kra asmachta bi'alma, that the pasuk is only in asmachta, and that's what he writes in his Kiddushim over here in the Rosh Yosef. In the Chuvas Ginus Varadim, Archaim Klal Bey, Simul Lamed Aleph, he says that Kedushas Mizbeach and Klishares, it's a daraisa that Malin Bekodesh Vein Maridin, because that we learn from the Pesukim. But Kedusha Sefer Torah and Beis HaKnesses is only Drabbanan. So he splits the halacha. He says it depends which items we're talking about. When you're talking about that which the Pesukim refer to, like the Mizbeach and the Klishares, then the din of Malin Bekodesh Lo Maridin is din daraisa. When you throw in all the items that the Mishnah listed in the halacha Malin Bekodesh Vein Maridin, many of those are only Midrabbanan, and there's no remez to those in the Torah. That even though the principles Min HaTorah, the application of the principle is only min haTorah to certain items and not others. And the Tshuvas Marash Engel, he's mechalik, and he says that something that's kadosh ba'atzma, like a sefer Torah, the issur is going to be min haTorah. But that which is only tashmishe kedusha, like an aron, or certainly tashmishe mitzvah, then malam b'kadosh v'ridin will only be a din midrabanan. So that's the discussion in the poskim, whether the halacha that we're dealing with over here is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. Okay, so says Gemara, b'nei ir shemacharu chavashalir, that if they sell the town square where they all gather together to daven on ta'anios, so they're not allowed to be married at mikedusha, but they're allowed to use the money to buy a base of knesses or anything of a higher level of kedusha. Amar Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, zo divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi satum ta'a. That's the sheet of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi satum ta'a. How does one earn the name satum ta'a? So Rashi writes that because there were many Mishnayos, Stam Mishnayos, that he was the author of, and Rebbe would just write them as Stam Mishnayos. That's why it's called Satum Ta'a. The Ritva over here says that there are some Rishonim that say that it means that this Mishnah is him. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah that's like him, but I love Davka that there are too many Mishnayos throughout Shas that follow his Shita. But anyway, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosef Satum Ta'a holds that Rechov HaShalir has Kedusha, and therefore there's a Din of Malim because of but the Chacham say no, Rechov Shalir does not have any sort of kedusha, and therefore you could even buy mundane items when you sell the Rechov Shalir. So Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, my time, I understand based on Knesset and other Tashmishi kedusha, like mitzvahs, svarim, and the like, have kedusha, and therefore you're not allowed to be murdered from the kedusha. But a rechov shalir, it's just a town square, it's just where people get together. What kind of kedusha would that have? So I answer the Gemara, hol va'am ispalim bo betanios b'ma'amados, because people do get together to daven there on tanios and by the ma'amados. The Gemara Mesachs Titus and Daf Tezvav Amaralev says that if it didn't rain until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Beis Din would be goes to tanios al tzibur, and if after they fast six tanios, they're not yet answered, they didn't have rain, and there goes on the tzibur another seven taniyos, and then they bring the teva out to the Rechov HaShalir. Sounds like it means they bring the Aron Kodesh out to the Rechov HaShalir, and they daven there. So Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosi says, oh, if that's a place that's miyuchad for special tfilos on the taniyos, so then that must have a certain level of kedusha. The reason they would bring out the teva to the Rechov HaShalir is in order to be able to say, za'aknu b'tzinu v'lo ne'enenu, nivza atzmenu b'farhesya. Right? That's what the Gemara says. It's a way of saying that that we have an item that's supposed to be of tznius, and kedusha and tznius are very interrelated to each other. So you have an item of kedusha; it's only appropriate that it be tznua. Tznua means that it be indoors, that it not be out in the public. And we're showing what a bizayon is with dafka being mevaza ourselves and the Aron Kodesh, to show that we tried everything. We tried without being mevaza ourselves. Now we're going to be mevaza ourselves in our tefillah. V'rabbanan, what about the Rabbanan that hold that even though you daven there, it doesn't have kedusha? Ha'u akrei ba'alma. Yeah, you daven there, but it's only on occasion. If it didn't rain, and then after six taniyos it still didn't rain, that's when you daven there. But under normal circumstances, you would never daven there. So that's why it doesn't have actual kedusha. Beis HaKnesses lochin teva. We said that if they sell Beis HaKnesses, then you buy a teva. So you see that the Bnei Ir apparently are allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses from the fact that we discuss this, what you do with the money. So Amrav Shomar Nachmani, Amrav Yonasan, lo shanu ella Beis HaKnesses shel kfarim. This din that the people of the city are allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses is only if the people of that village built a Beis HaKnesses for their own use, and now they don't want to use it anymore. Aval Beis Krachin, but if you have a Beis HaKnesses that's in a big city where people gather from all over the place, since people come from all over the place and they all contribute, because if you go to a place and you use a shul, say a mishaberach or something, or you'll write a check, you contribute something to a Beis HaKnesses, lo matzumaz benulei, then they're not allowed to sell it even to be malo b'kodesh, tavalei derabim, because then it's considered to be something that doesn't only belong to the people of that city, it belongs to the entire world. So they don't have the ability to sell something that doesn't belong to them, that belongs to everybody. The reason the Gemara brings this din by a Beis HaKnesses, not by the Rechov HaIr, which is the first din in the Mishnah, because according according to the Chum, there is no Kedusha for the Rechavi ear. So we take the first thing that everyone has, that everyone holds as Kedusha, and the Gemara says, well, wait a second, are you really allowed to sell it? That's only if it's owned by private citizens. In order to be called a Beis Knesset Shel Krachin, there's a discussion in Poskim, do you need that people live from outside of the city, that people use it from outside of the city, B'kvius, or even if people only come from outside of the city once in a while, and they don't use it B'kvius, that's enough to make it a Beis Knesset Shel Krachin, which will have this status that you're not allowed to that you're not allowed to sell. Now, the Tosos in Dibra Maskel Kivan is the one that that explains that the reason that people come Me'alma makes a difference is that they contributed to the building of the Beis HaKnesses, and therefore it is partially theirs. He says that's only, it would turn out that that's all, that the reason is because they become the owners, and if they become the owners, then local people are not allowed to decide what to do with something that has ownership that extends far beyond their community. So it turns out, according to Tosos, that if you know with clarity that no one else gave any money, so then the Bnei Yair are allowed to sell it. Then Tosos also writes that even if they didn't give any money, only the Bnei Yair gave money, you're still not allowed to sell it because it's made al das rabin, that they were makdish the Beis HaKnesses for the entire world, and therefore it's shayach to everybody. So according to that interpretation, even if you know that nobody gave money, you're still not allowed to sell it. So you have two deos in Tosos. What the reason is that a Beis HaKnesses of a large city cannot be sold, is it because contributions came from everywhere, or is it because it was built al das, people from everywhere? Nafkamina is, if contributions didn't come from everywhere, would it still have this status? Amra Vashi Hai Beis HaKnesses de Masa Mechasya, the Beis HaKnesses in Masa Mechasya, the Pnei Yeshua says the din we're about to say is dafka by Mechasya. We shouldn't have a din of a full-fledged large city. The Gemara in Ksubis and Davdalit says that it was mafka mikfaru, mafka mikrach, that it was somewhere in between a small village and a large city. The context of that Gemara in Ksubis, the Gemara talks about if you prepared a whole wedding and then meis avdushal chasno imo shel kala, but you already have the meat salted, you already have all the wine diluted, and if you leave it over for too long, it's all going to spoil and you're not going to be able to make another wedding. So are you machnis nes ames lecheder v'sachasim v'sakala l'chuppa, just get them married right now and you'll do the shiva afterwards, you'll do the kvura afterwards? Or do you say, let's take care of the Levaya, and then we'll have a wedding later on. We'll do a wedding at some other point. So in that context, the Gemara says, well, whether you're going to be able to sell all of that food, really, and therefore have money to make another wedding, will really depend on where you live. If you live in a large city where there's a lot of demand on a daily basis for food, and there, all the restaurants are making a lot of fresh food every single day, and it's all going, so then you'll be able to sell that food. But if you live in a smaller village where you got to freeze a lot, and you wait till you can sell things, so you're not going to be able to replace that food as easily. So Gemara says, so where is the case where we have a machlokas? Gemara says everyone agrees in a large city one halacha, in a small village the other way. So Gemara says, the case of machlokas is like Masa Mechasya. Masa Mechasya is not a big city, it's not a small town, so it's somewhere in between. So anyway, so Beknishta of Masa Mechasya, Avukav de Me'al Masla, even though people come who are not residents of that city, and they may even contribute to the building, Kivan Dadait to Didi Ka'asu, since everyone who comes to my Beis HaKnesses gives the money, Aldas, it's Ravashi talking, Aldas me, meaning they're giving the money because of their relationship to me. They're giving the money because they want to be Mechabid me. So Yibi'inim is Banin Allah. So if I want, I'm allowed to sell it. So even though you're not allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses that's purchased by the masses, but over here, it's purchased al das that I'll do with it what I want. So ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yonason from the Brisa, Meisvei Am Rabbi the Meisvei Beis HaKnesses Shel Tursiim. There was a Beis HaKnesses of coppersmiths, Shaya Birushalayim. You get the impression that the way they would divide up Bate Knesios is not like nowadays, where more yeshivish, less yeshivish, chasidish, this, that, where the very thin slices of Shomrei Torah mitzvos that each gets their own Beis HaKnesses, or ages, between the age of 25 and 32, between the age of 33 and 39, whatever the way they divided it up, apparently was based on profession, because it was a networking opportunity. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Masechta Sukkah, that the Beis HaKnesses Shel Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, it held so many people, millions of people, they had to wave the flags in order for people to know when to answer a mate. But the way they sat was that all the people of a particular profession sat together. So all the lawyers sat together, all the doctors sat together, all the, so they used to have, Jews used to be in blue collar professions also. So they had, all the plumbers sat together and all the contractors sat, so everyone sat in their own, in order to be able to network, not during davening, but after davening that they were able to do chesed with each other. So anyway, so the basic knesses of the Torsiim, Shayib Rishayim Shemachul Rabbi Lazar Vasaba Kol Trachav Vahasim Dekrachimava, that they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer and he did whatever he needed with it. And over there, it's a basic national Krachim is Yerushalayim. Is there a place where more people come from Dal Kanfas Haaretz than Yerushalayim? So you see that even Bishal Krachim, you're allowed to sell a basic Knesses. Says Gemara, no, Ube Knishta Zutiava Vinu Avadua. That basic Knesses, even though it was located in a major city in Yerushalayim, but it was built for themselves. It was a tiny little shtiebel that they built just for themselves. So they're the ones that contributed all of the money, and therefore they were allowed to sell it. But other Bata Knesios in a Krach, you're not allowed to sell because a lot of people contribute money to building them, and the basic Knesses doesn't belong to the Bnei Ha'ir. So ask Gemara Meisvei a further challenge. It says in the Torah when it talks about Saraz, when it talks about Nigei Batim, which is one of those things that the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin that maybe never happened, right, along with Ben Sora Remora and Irani Dach, that Nigei Batim, that's the one people always forget from the list of things that never happened, is that a Negat Saras and Batim doesn't happen because it's very difficult to meet the criteria. But when the Torah describes it, it says that Kisavo Eretz Kanan, Asher Nino Seilachem Lachuza, Menasati Negat Saras, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you can see a Negat Saras, Bebeis Eretz Achuzaskem. So Chazal Darshan Achuzaskem, it has to be a Yerusha that belongs to a person or to a particular Shevet, then Mitami Ben Negoim. But then Yerushalayim Mitami Ben Negoim, but nothing in Yerushalayim could have Tumas Saras on the Batim because it was not Nischal Kol Shvatim. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani Lo Shamati El Makom Miklash Bavadi. He says, no, I only heard that the only thing that's exempt from Tumas Negoim is the Makom Miklash because it's a bias of Kedusha and it's therefore Nisma'it when the Torah says Uba Asher Lo Habayis, that the owner of the house has to come. So Chazal Darshan in Yuma Dafir Aleph that Tumas Negoim is Dafka for a bias that you can use for whatever your needs are, as opposed to a bais, a beis hamikdash, where you're not allowed to use the kol tzrachav, you're not allowed to use for whatever you need. But Yerushalayim, if you happen to have a home in Yerushalayim, then it could be subject to negayim, because the assumption is that Yerushalayim is nischalik l'shvatim, and therefore you can't be mimayit Yerushalayim from achuzaskim. There is an achuza in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is medayik from Rabbi Yehuda that dafka the makom hamikdash is not mitame, but it sounds like habatik nisius batim joshua's mitamin, that batik nisius batim joshua's do have Tumas Negoim, but am I? Why should they have Tumas Negoim? But those Batek Nisios belong to a Krach, and therefore the Shaykh to all of Klal Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yonah's son, and even if they needed to, and therefore it should have been Nisma'it from Achuzaschem, that it shouldn't be Metami bin Negoim. Say, Ema, Amr Rabbi Yudah, Ani Lo Shamati El Makom Mekudash Bavarena Chinami. Rabbi Yudah wasn't just saying that the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from Tumas Negoim, he's saying Tumas Negoim cannot affect a Makom Mekudash that incorporates even Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos because they are not miyuchad for a person's personal tashmish, for his personal usage, and therefore it's nismayit from uba asher lo habayis, that they're also not metame b'negayim. So once the Gemara is miyashiv the kasha on Rabbi Yonasan, the Gemara explains what's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda that holds that stam batim in Yerushalayim do have a din of tumas negayim. So b'may kamifli, what's the machlokes tanakam in Rabbi Yehuda whether a home in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim means the era atika, it means inside the chomos, that a home in Yerushalayim would be so machlokas whether it's subject to negayim. So Tanakam savlonis chalk Yerushalayim shvatim. Tanakam holds Yerushalayim was never divided up among the shvatim, and therefore even a stam bias in Yerushalayim can't be called achuzaschem. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda savlonis chalk Yerushalayim shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yerushalayim was nischalik l'shvatim, and therefore can be called achuzaschem. Ubeplok to dani tanoi, and that machlokas is a machlokas of the following tanoim as well. Detanya maya b'chalka shel Yehuda. What was in the chelik of Yehuda on as far as Harabayis and the Mikdash is concerned? So Harabayis, Halashachos, Va'azaros, the eastern side of the Mikdash from the Pesach Habayis until the Mizbeach, Umayyah B'chelka Shel Binyamin, and what was in Shevet Binyamin's portion as far as the Mikdash complex? Ulam, Beheichal, Beis Kotshei HaKadoshim, the western side of the Beis HaMikdash from the entrance of the Ulam and west. Uritzua, Heisei Yotzis, Mechelko Shel Yehuda, V'nechnesis, Mechelko Shel Binyamin. On the eastern side of the Mizbeach, there was a Ritzua that stretched out from Yehuda's portion and encroached on Binyamin's portion. Uba Mizbeach Banui. And in that portion, that's where the eastern Yisod of the Mizbeach should have been built. But since that was not in Chelik Shel Binyamin, they just didn't didn't build the Yisod on that side, so that the entire Mizbeach, as it was actually built, could remain in Binyamin's portion. Because if they would have built it, they would have built a perfect square for the Mizbeach and built the Yisod all the way around, then it would have encroached on Yehuda's. Yehuda would have hosted some portion of the Mizbeach. By Binyamin HaTzadik saw in Ruach HaKodesh that it was going to be that way, that the entire area around the Mizbeach is not all going to be in his portion. So Mitztar Lebechol Yom Levola, that he always was Mitztar, he was always upset that he wanted to incorporate that in his portion as well. Shnemar Chofif Alav Kol Yom Ulefichach Zach Binyamin Nasr Shpizchul Neshchina. And Bizchus that Tzar of not being able to host the Mizbeach, he was Zocha that the Hashras HaShchina happened in his portion. Hashras HaShchina is the Makom of the Aron. Is where the highest intensity of Hashras Hashchina is. So you see that this Tana holds, obviously Yerushalayim is Nischalik L'Shvatim, because we're clearly identifying the Chelik of Yehuda, the Chelik of Binyamin. That's clearly what we were assuming back on Daf Tes Zayin as well, right? When we said that Yosef was Nafal on Tzavarei Binyamin, on the necks of Binyamin, because the two necks represent the two Batei Mikdash that are going to fall in his portion. So the High Tana and the Savalon Nischalik Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. But then we have another Tana that says Yerushalayim was not Nischalik L'Shvatim. Did Tanya Ein Maskirim Batim Yerushalayim, and I'll let rent Batim in Yerushalayim out to Oli Regalim Neshein and Shalahan, because the Batim don't belong to the residents of Yerushalayim, and therefore they don't have the ability to rent them out to Oli Regalim. You have to let the Oli Regalim just live there. It's like free housing for whoever comes to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer Aflomitos, that even the beds that belong to the Tosh Yerushalayim, they're not able to rent to Oli Regalim. And since they're not allowed to charge rent for even the beds, oros kachim, the oros of the hides of carbon toda and shlamim and that belong to the bailim, bali yishpizin notanosam bezroa, the hosts would take it by force as a schar for other people sleeping on their beds. So you see, this tana holds that it was not nischalik l'shvatim; it belongs to all of Am Yisrael, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So you see that it is in fact machlokas tanaim amrabayish shmamina orachar lemishpakin shkulfa. So you see from this takana that it's derech eretz to leave certain things for the balabayas that don't have great value, because if it weren't appropriate to do, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon would not have been matir that they would be able to take it bezroah, that they'd be able to take the oros kachim. The fact that became a thing, that they're allowed to take the oros kachim, means that that's derech eretz, that a person is hosting you, even though he can't really charge you, you should leave him with a tip, you should leave him with something. Because really, Meikar Adin, they could have charged for the beds, because the beds really belong to the Bailim. It's just that they didn't allow it because of a siyag for the Batim, meaning they thought that if they charge for the beds, then ultimately they're going to charge for the Batim, and they're not allowed to charge for the Batim. So if they're really giving you something of value, and it's just that there's a takana that they're not allowed to charge for it, so you should leave them, you should find a way to reward them in some other way. Okay, then the Mishnah said that if the Bnei HaKfar sell a Rechov HaShalir, or they sell a Beis HaKnesses, you need to be Malim B'Kodesh. You could use the money to buy something that has a more severe, a higher level of kedusha. So Amar Rav Loshan Loshlomach Roshivatu Ve'ir. That's only if it wasn't sold by the representatives of the city b'maimen ansheir. Avlomach Roshivatu Ve'ir b'maimen ansheir. But if the board of directors of the city sells it, then it doesn't have any kedusha at all. Not kedusha guf, not kedusha sadamim, and you're allowed to do whatever you want with it. Then afilu lemishta be'shichre, even to buy something to buy beer for people to drink. With Shapir Dami would be permissible. But that's Dafka in a village where the Beis HaKnesses belongs to the Bnei HaKfar, and they're allowed to sell it. But the Beis HaKnesses of a Krachin, they don't have the ability to sell at all, even Al Yidei the Shivatuva Ye'ir, B'maimaran She'ir, like we said on Amud Aleph, that the Beis HaKnesses of a Krachin belongs to everybody. Ravina Avalehu Tilud Beit Kanishta. He had a certain churva of a Beis HaKnesses, meaning a pile of dirt that where a Beis HaKnesses used to be. Zasil Kamed Ravashi, Amalei Mal Mizra. He wanted to know, is he allowed to plant in that churva where there used to be a Beis HaKnesses? So Amalei Ravashi said, Zil Zabnei, go and Mishiva Tuveir B'maimen Anshir, go buy it from the Shiva Tuveir B'maimen Anshir by the representatives of the community, and then Uzra'a, then you're allowed to go and plant in that area. Rami Baraba have a Kabani Beit Knishta, he built a Beis HaKnesses. Have a Hi Knishta Atika, there was an old Beis HaKnesses, have a Ba'i L'Mistre, and he wanted to knock down that old Beis HaKnesses. So Livni Kshuri Mina Vayuli Lasin, they don't make things the way they used to, and apparently there were some very valuable bricks and very valuable building materials in the old Beis HaKnesses that was run down. People weren't using the old Beis HaKnesses, so he wanted to knock down that shul and use the building materials for the new Beis HaKnesses. So Yosef coming by Lehad Rav Chista, this so he had the following suffix. That which Rav Chista says, Zam Rav Chista lalisrinish beknishta debani beknishta achriti, that you're not allowed to knock down a Beis HaKnesses until you have a replacement, until you have a new Beis HaKnesses in place. Maybe that's only because we're choshesh that you're going to be poshe. You're going to knock down the old Beis HaKnesses, and then you're not going to build the new Beis HaKnesses. It's going to take years and years until you build the new Beis HaKnesses, and the community is going to be out of a shul in the meantime. So what about over here, where the whole purpose of destroying the old Beis HaKnesses in order to use the building materials in order to build the new Beis? I have a better chance of building the new Beis HaKnesses dafka when I knock down the old Beis HaKnesses. So in such a case, are you allowed to knock down the old Beis HaKnesses to use the building materials? So Asa Kamed Rav Papa, he came to Rav Papa with the Shaila Va'asale, and he says, you're not allowed to knock it down. Kamed Rav Huna Va'asale. So he tried again. He asked in front of, he asked the Shaila for Rav Huna, and he asked it as well. Now that did, so the first Beis HaKnesses still has its Kedusha. But if the Shiva Tuva Yir B'Maimir Anshei had sold it, so then you're allowed to be Motziyat even L'chulin. So for sure you'd be allowed to sell it. That's what the Rashba points out over here. This assumes that it still retains its Kedusha, but we have the ability to take away its Kedusha. Al Yedei the Shiva Tuvei Ir B'Maimir Anshei Ir. Amarava Haibe Knishta Chiluf of a Zabuna Shari. To switch a Beis HaKnesses or to sell it is mutter, and you're allowed to use it even for mundane purposes. Ungora umashkuna, to rent it out or to give it as a mashkon on a halva'a asr. That you're not allowed to do, even al yidei the Shiva Tuvei Ir B'maimir Anshei Ir. My taima, why is selling it different than renting it? Simply because, b'kedusha sakai, because it still retains its kedusha if you're renting it out. So since the very object, it was not sold, so it's still considered to belong to where it always belonged, and therefore the Kedusha has nothing else to be chal on, as opposed to if you exchange it for something, so then the Kedusha can transfer, and the Beis HaKnesses will lose its Kedusha. So ask the Gemara that the Livni Nami, the bricks also that fell off of a wall of a Beis HaKnesses, Chalufinu v'zabaninu shari, you're allowed to sell it and exchange it for other things. Uzvinu asr, but to lend it out to somebody is going to be asr. Hani mili batikta, but that's only old building materials, but new bricks that they made al das in order to build the Kosei Beis HaKnesses, but right now they have not yet been used, since it was only hazmana for Beis HaKnesses, but it wasn't yet actually used as a Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't have Kedusha and you're allowed to lend it out. So the Gemara says that the reason that new bricks not because hazmana lav milsi, even if you normally assume that designated something for a particular use is as if it's already being used for that purpose. That's like if you weave tachrichin for a mace. That's where we say it's already as mana milsa. But over here by the bricks for the wall, even after you made them, the malacha is not, they're still missing something because you still have to build them in. So katavilar, I mean, that's like spinning the threads that you want to use eventually to weave a beged. So lek lemad yomer, no one holds at that early stage in the process that that's already called asmana. It's not even at the stage of hazmana yet. So that's why making the bricks is not even at the stage of hazmana. So he said, if the Bnei Yair give the Beis HaKnesses matana, pligi baravacha ravina. So if they give it as a matana to use for whatever you want, machlokes ravacha ravina. Chad asr, one says that the person who's mekabel the matana is not allowed to use it, v'chad shari. The other one says he is allowed to use it. Mandi asr, v'hai tivka kedushasa. That since the kedusha has nothing to be chal on because you got it as a matana. And the one that says that it's mutter is there must have been some barter, there must have been some exchange. If you didn't give them any anah, they wouldn't just be giving you the gift. So matana kizvini. So in that sense, a matana is like a sale. Now, Tan Rabbanan, this is what we were referring to before. Tashmishe mitzvah, things that were used for a mitzvah nizrakin. After the zman mitzvah is over, you're allowed to throw them. Technically, you're allowed to throw them in the garbage. However, it's usher to do a tashmish maguna. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Simcha Valif that you're not allowed to do tashmish maguna with it. So we don't throw it in the garbage with all the rest, with last night's chicken bones. You have to do it. You have to dispose of it in a derech kavod. So this is a very common shaila, one of those shailas that the Rabbanim get every single year right after Sukkot. What do I do with my dalad minim? How do I get rid of my dalad minim? So is there do you have to do it? So okay, there are minhagim. You save it till Pesach and you burn it with the chametz or whatever. Those are minhagim, but tashmish mitzvah technically technically you can dispose of, but in a kavadik way. Tashmisha kedusha neganazin. Not so with tashmisha kedusha. Even though you're no longer using them, they have to be neganazin. Veiluay tashmisha mitzvah. What are examples of tashmisha mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. Veiluay tashmisha kedusha. Tuluskame svarim. Where you keep the svarim, tefillin and mezuzos, v'tik shel sefer Torah, v'nartik shel tefillin rutzu osein. Notice what all these things have in common is that, as we said before, tashmishe mitzvah have nothing to do with ksav shel Torah. Tashmishe kedusha are related to the actual ksav shel Torah, to the actual letters of the Torah. It's interesting, the actual letters themselves, that's kedusha atzma. That which serves the letters themselves, those are tashmishe kedusha. So Tosus discusses over here, and what about rutzuos of tefillin? Why is that only tashmishe kedusha? Don't we fashion the Dalit and the Yud out of the Ritzuos of the Tefillin? Shouldn't that give it the status of Kedusha Atzma and not just Tashmishe Kedusha? So that's Tos discusses. Elamai, we don't view that as real Ksav. And therefore, it's not actually Kedusha Atzma, it's only Tashmishe Kedusha. But even Tashmishe Kedusha, you have to treat with a great sense of respect. You see, sometimes people are unwrapping their Tefillin and they'll just throw the Ritzuos and they'll land on the floor or whatever. So there, I think they say the Michas Luzer has such a Mesorah to do like that in among Chasidim. But generally, just on a partial level, that the poskim are even makbid that you shouldn't drag your tzitzis on the floor. Tzitzis are only tashmisha mitzvah, certainly tashmisha kedusha. Amar Rav Mireish Havimina Haikrasayi. So they used to think that the place where they would put the shulchan of the sefer Torah is tashmish to tashmish uvashari. That it's only a tashmish to tashmish, and therefore it has a tashmisha mitzvah status. Kivin the chazina the most love a sefer Torah. But once I saw that they don't put a mapa on it, they put the sefer Torah directly on the shulchan. Amina tashmish. I realize that it's Tashmish Kedusha and it's therefore Asr Va'amarava Mireisha Avamina High Priest the Tashmish Tashmishu. I used to think that the cloth that they would be poreis inside the Aron Kodesh is only Tashmish Tashmish. Kivin the Chazina Da'ifilei. Once I saw that when they folded up Umanchi Sifrei Levei, they put the Svarim directly on it. I mean a Tashmish Kedusha Va'asr. I figured it's Tashmish Kedusha Va'amarava High Tevusa Di'irpat, the Aron Kodesh that became broken Me'avda Teva Zutrasi, to make from the broken pieces a smaller Aron Kodesh Shari is going to be mutter Kursaya, but to make a bima from it is aser, because Kedusha Aron Kodesh is a greater Kedusha, and if you make a bima from it, you're being morid from that Kedusha. Via Marava High Parsa Debala, if you have the cloth that you put in the Aron Kodesh that's become worn out, Mav the priest of the Sifri, to make a mantle for Sifrei Torah Shari, that's going to be mutter because you're not being morid with Kedusha. But Luchumashin, but to use it for Chumashin is going to be aser. Okay, we have a number of more comments of Rava that as Shem will pick up with tomorrow, relating to being morid items from one level of Kedusha to the next. Everyone have a wonderful day, a wonderful Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.